Did you know that Thursday is July the 4th? I hope and pray you did. It's a wonderful time to celebrate and reflect on the grace of God and the freedoms that we have in our country. I wanted to share something with you. I'm going to title my message, Faith on the Fringe. But before I do that, the little book of Malachi, which is the last book of the Old Testament right before the New Testament, in Malachi 4, verse 2, it says, "But for you who revere my name, the Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing in his wings." We're talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, as we know, who is the great healer. And I entitled my message, as I said, Faith on the Fringe. I want to reflect on something. Back in 1947, post-war Scotland, the very first international festival of music and drama was conceived by a group of artists wanting to rejuvenate the cultural milieu that took place in the European continent after World War II. Because the war had decimated many of the European cities known for the arts, and people were exhausted from the fear, the terror, and the grief caused by the war. Those who organized the festival sought to reunite the international community through art. In doing so, they invited the best of the group for the global community, aiming to present the very best of high culture. They felt the meticulously constructed festival would instill a sense of spiritual refreshment and civility among those who were mourning the after effects of World War II, and to reestablish civilized and religious values, to rebuild divisional relationships, and provide economic growth for the city. Well, the festival was to be held in the vast and beautiful Edinburgh Castle, and the opening of the event was to be celebrated at St. Giles Cathedral, formerly the parish of John Knox, the Reformer, and the Presbyterian stronghold of the Church of Scotland. As a huge patron of the arts and concerned with the spiritual depletion of the time, it was only natural that the church team up with this festival society to inaugurate the event on Sunday, August the 24th, 1947. The three-week festival began with a worship service and praise held at St. Giles Cathedral. Hymns and prayers and blessings celebrated the resilience and creativity of the human spirit. The artists invited and prepared to present the very best of art and theater of the time to the best audiences in the world. And then something unexpected happened. Lesser-known artists from around the area to form what they called the fringes of the artistic world crashed the party. Eight uninvited theater groups arrived unannounced and began to display their art and stage performances at various fringe locations surrounding the main event. Unstoppable, the Fringe Festival was born, and the culture wars have begun. Akin to the broadening of our concept of culture in the technologically revolution, the Fringe Festival forced us to take a closer look at what it truly means to put one's finger on the pulse of culture. Reevaluating culture meant reevaluating the arts and the artists and venues and audiences. It meant deconstructing former ideas and values and conceptions and ideas of how art could create a more inclusive understanding of the world and its people. Now, like any other cultural phenomena, its impact cannot be underestimated, not in the art world and certainly not in the church. Today, the Fringe Festival is one of the largest arts and media festivals in the world, celebrating not only art but the core values of the Fringe. Jumping on board Edinburgh's example, Fringe festivals began originating in many cities around the world. The Philadelphia Fringe Festival, which began in 1997, is to be held on September 5th through the 29th this year, 2024, and they will celebrate the diversity and creativity of all the local artists who wish to attend. Devoid of invitation, institution, or induction, artists have no need of an invitation to portray all their art. Everybody's welcome. And they can choose either traditional or unconventional venues, including alleys and galleries and abandoned buildings. I often wondered about the art that's on these abandoned buildings, but I digress. Even cars or street corners in order to perform or display their art. Experimentation, exploration, discovery of new forms is highly celebrated. Innovation and creativity are the hallmarks of the event, in which the artists seek to connect with their cultural communities inclusively and resonate with vibrant ways. You see, the Fringe Festival, once an alternative event, has now become the celebrated hallmark of the 21st century culture, which we're a part of. But, I love the buts. The Fringe Festival is not the only way people today talk about the Fringe. One group called The Fringe dictates its nonprofit, helping to marginalize the vulnerable adolescent kids. You know, those on the fringe of society's usual programs. Being a vegetarian, once was thought as a fringe movement, has now has subscribers all over the world, and they call it Farm to Table. It's an organic movement that took off. And most innovative cultural changes begins as fringe movements. Now, that's not to say some fringe movements haven't caused negative consequences, because many of them have. But many have also championed the lives and voices of the unheard, the unpowerful, immobilized, and untouched. What's that got to do with the gospel, preacher? Well, Jesus understood what it meant to operate on the fringe. The Jesus Kingdom dream was a fringe movement at the time, a counter-cultural movement that shocked the institutions and the authorities that sought to uphold the status quo of high religious culture of the first century. In nearly every story of the gospel, Jesus is pushing the envelope, crossing boundaries, making the Pharisees and the authorities cringe. He was edgy. He was daring. He was undaunted by his critics. And he captivated people like no one had ever done before. He embodied the concept of the fringe. Literally, he did. And so did the gospel story that we looked at today. Some scholars call it a sandwich story. I'd rather call it a fringe story. It's a main narrative with different narratives stuffed right into the middle of it, in essence of a story with a fringe. The story begins when Jesus comes back to the shore from his time with the disciples on the Sea of Galilee that we talked about last week. And as the crowd began to gather around him, one of the leaders of the local synagogue named Jairus pleaded with him again and again to come and to lay hands on his dying daughter. He obviously believed with all his heart that Jesus could heal her. So Jesus agreed and begins following Jairus to his home. Followed by the growing crowd, which left him practically no room to breathe or even walk, it now becomes the fringe story. A woman long suffering for 12 years from an undiagnosed bleeding condition heard about Jesus. She thought to herself, if she can only touch the tassels of his cloak, she could be healed. She did, and she was immediately. She felt it in her body. Now, interestingly enough, Jesus feels the power go out of him, and he calls to her, and the woman comes before him. He says to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." So, now, we return to our regularly scheduled program. While he is still speaking to the woman, he is interrupted by a doubting few who tell Jairus that it's too late. Your daughter's already dead. She done passed away, Jairus. Jesus' reply was, "Don't be afraid, only believe." Now, this is a key phrase, the one that we find in the scripture no less than 365 times. Don't be afraid. For fear is the adversary of faith. Fear causes doubts that interferes with our faith. Jesus does not heed this interpretation of faith, but strides right ahead. And this interruption, this time allowing no one to follow him except a few of his disciples and Jairus himself. So once again, they come to the house and Jesus claims, "The child's not dead," and the crowd laughs at him. He puts them outside of the house, allowing only his disciples and the girl's parents with him. Then he takes her by the hand and raises her up. Now, this is a fringe story about a fringe kind of faith that defies all reason, all order, convention, or condition, that flies right in the face of all the expectations and reality, humanity, and morality. For Jesus, resurrection power is unconventional, over the top, compassionate, out of this world, spectacular even, and the supernatural event, if only we have faith. In one story, we do have a conventional family, a leader of the synagogue, surrounded by those used to conventions and convictions and rituals and religious order. But in our fringe story, we have a woman who would have lived on the fringes of society, unclean, unprotected, unwanted, unable to enter the synagogue or the temple or even her family's home because she was unclean. But her faith is the kernel, the fringe that sets up a tone for the entire larger story. A faith so deep and wide, a daring move so unconventional and unusual for a woman of her day, a risk so huge but justified that it had shocked Jesus' disciples to the core. It's almost as if her great faith emanates and resonates strongly from the fringes to the center that permeates the story of Jairus. And the only one in his story with faith enough to trust Jesus to heal and to raise his daughter. A bleeding woman's faith on the fringe becomes the central and glowing and radiant light of the hope and life. Who's those representing the center of the religious elite of the day fall into the edges of despair. Now, the Gospels are always a lesson in the upside-down and inside-out world that Jesus was ministering to. And as Jesus says, the first shall be last and the last shall be first. Or shall we say, the fringe shall be front and center, and the centered shall fall away. So what's that mean for us today in 2024? What does it mean to live on the fringe? On the fringe of faith? You know, faith happens on the fringes, like the mustard seed that Jesus suggested to us as the bit of faith capable of moving mountains. Faith grows first from the fields, from the valleys, from the ditches and the downtrodden. Faith is cultivated when the center moves to the side and believes when things seem to be impossible. Fringers take risks, big risks, because they have nothing to lose. And Jesus imagined a community, not of religion institutions, but of people, all people, diverse people, faithful people, people whose only goal would be to live in harmony with God. On the earth and with each other. Wow. I hope and pray that we continue to seek that gift that God wanted to give to us and have given to us through His Son, Jesus Christ, that we have the faith that we need in order to keep on keeping on. Because Jesus dreamt of an alternative community that would supersede divisions and doubts and conflicts and differences, that would be united in a healing bond of faith. A fringe community for Jesus? It's a healing community. A community of the healed on God's mission of healing. For this is what Jesus did the most. He taught some. He preached some. He traveled a lot. He debated, but most of all, he healed. He loved. He healed. It's what he asked us as disciples to do in his stead. You know, discipleship, even modern disciples, we looked at the disciples in Jesus' day to walk with them. You know, it was a risky business. But even us modern day disciples, it's a risky business. It requires strength and courage and deep faith to dare to believe that God can answer prayer, that God can heal people and communities, that God can raise up lives in towns and even churches. Now, we know what it means to be a church of traditions. Bethel has got a rich tradition. We have rituals. We have theology, which simply means thoughts about God. We follow a Wesleyan belief of theology, which, in my humble opinion, is pretty accurate. But we also have history. And these can be beautiful and valuable things, but what does it mean to be a fringe church? To be a church that innovates and creates and heals and spreads faith to the core of its community. That shines its light as an example of an alternative community with a faith so deep and so wide and strong that it permeates everyone around it. That's our question. Bethel, I think you are that kind of church, because Jesus is in the healing business, and Jesus is in the resurrection business, and as disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, Christ followers as I call us, we are also. Well, I hope and pray that you understand what it means to be on the fringe. There's nothing wrong being on the fringe because, good people are always on the fringe, and we need to call them into the kingdom. They no longer need to be on the fringe. They can be a part of the kingdom of God. In Jesus' name, amen.